So I'm here with Patrick Bravo. Welcome, and thank you for being here.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
So you're running for a role that requires quite a bit of time and attention, which can and will be tough. So before we get started, just tell us about your why for running for this. And, you know, as you talk about your motivations to run, just introduce yourself and share your background.
Yeah, thank you. The number one reason, I still have a kid in the district. I spent 10 years on the Akron School Board. My last term ended at the end of 2021. And like all things in life, I guess, you know, you think you're finished, but maybe you're not. The school district is going through a lot of transition right now. We have three outgoing board members. So there are three open seats this year. I'm looking to fill one of those to come back. I think I'm looking to bring some leadership and experience to the board to jump right in. There are a lot of tough decisions the board's going to have to make around buildings and finances and levies. And so I think I have something to offer there.
Awesome. You talked about your biggest motivating factor being your child. Where do you have the most impact as a board member if elected?
But it's with the community, for sure. It's with the children. It's with the families. It's being out in the community. It's taking that engagement piece, being able to engage, listen, learn, advocate on behalf of children and families. I mean, that's your role as a board member primarily. Also to set policy and provide some governance and leadership. But that's your biggest impact, is really connecting with students and families.
Great. Over the next 12 to 18 months, what do you view to be the biggest items that the board's going to have to address?
Certainly finance and operations. There have been discussions publicly about whether or not and when to place a levy on the ballot to support operations, and also whether or not and when to put a levy on the ballot to support permanent improvements like additional facilities that did not get completed during the last Imagine Akron plan, which was the $800 million plan to rebuild or renovate every school in Akron. So there are some very tough decisions around finance and operations. We also saw some of our schools slip into what was previously known as priority or warning status from an academic achievement standpoint. While at the same time, we saw the graduation rate increase to 86.1%. So, you know, you've got this, we're still reeling from the effects of the pandemic, and this is not something that's unique to Akron. It's happening across the country. But there are going to have to be some decisions made and some hard looks at what we're doing academically to get students back on track. So finance, operations, academic achievement, and then, of course, the one that seems to be a hot topic right now, which is not just a school-based issue, it's certainly a community-wide issue and will need community-wide solutions, is around student safety, violence in our community, youth violence, and in particular, gun violence. So we're going to have to look at actions and strategies in the short term that make our students and our families feel safe. It's hard to go in and learn fractions if you don't feel safe.
Right. And we'll circle back on some of that, but just shifting gears real quick, from your perspective, how did the college and career academies of Akron benefit students, and what's been its positive impact for the business community?
Yeah, I had the benefit of being at the table as we were meeting with Ford Next Generation Learning to bring college and career academies into the Akron Public Schools. It's been absolutely transformational, not just for our students, but for the district. And we have more, you know, nearly 400 community partners who are now investing their time and their resources into our students, providing externships and experiential learning opportunities. It's really been a game changer for education, and it's something that people come from all over the country to Akron Public Schools to see what we're doing and what the program is, and extending it down into the middle years and into the elementary years also continues to be something that's transformational. So it's something that we really need to continue to support. And there's no other district in this community and maybe in this state that can boast the number of external community partners and businesses that are really supporting education.
So long term, any ideas on how to improve it or build upon the relationships that have already been built?
Well, I think you just said it. It's continuing to strengthen, to build and strengthen the existing relationships, to continue to build new relationships. There, you know, we have 400 partners in the community, but there are still more. And there are businesses and there are organizations that want to get involved, and we need to grab onto those and say, and find a place for them. There's a home for them in Akron Public Schools.
You mentioned a lot of the great stuff that the college and career academies do: experiential learning, the hands-on experience, career exposure. How can the board, from a policy perspective, help ensure students get an equitable experience as they go through this K through 12 system?
I think to continue to listen to children and families to find out, you know, what career paths they're looking at, what they're interested in, what they'd like to see, and finding those partners in the community who may have something to offer our students. Career tech, technology, all of that looks different than what it did when you and I went to school. So there are a lot of things change, and they change quickly, and we need to be able to meet students where they are. So I think, again, going back to even your first question or your second question about, you know, how we can be most impactful, it's really listening to students and families, staying ahead of trends, and being able to meet kids where they are.
Great. It, as you may know, the state recently expanded its voucher program. This might create pressure on student enrollment. How can APS be more competitive in attracting and retaining students and talent, for that matter? And what should APS be thinking about differently relating to those challenges?
Yeah, there's a lot in that question. So, you know, personally, I have to say, I really, to me, and I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I think this is a further attempt at dismantling public education. In Ohio, in particular. Expanding the voucher program is short-sighted because when you provide a voucher to families who may already have students that have never attended Akron Public Schools, or you now close that gap so that they can afford to go somewhere else, and they do, you still leave behind the children that can't and the families that can't. And Akron Public Schools isn't like those other schools. Until the last student is gone from Akron Public Schools, there will be an Akron Public Schools, and we will educate every child that walks through our door, and we will do our best to provide them a quality education that will help them prepare them to be whatever they want to be in life. So it's a little short-sighted to continue to incentivize families to leave schools. That being said, one of the best things that we can do is take care of the kids that we have. And make sure that we are providing the best education that we possibly can for whatever students come through our doors, wherever they are. And no family in Akron Public School District should have to leave APS to find a better district. So I think we need to focus on the job that we're doing. We need to do a better job at telling our own story, because while we talk about academic achievement and some losses from the pandemic, we also have four schools that made it into the U.S. News and World Report, and we have the number one high school ranked in Summit County. So we have some successes that we need to tell, do a better job about telling that story. But I think take care of the kids we have.
Great. Thanks. Loaded answer to a loaded question.
Yeah.
You mentioned the board's role briefly at the top of our discussion. Generally speaking, what do you think the board's role is day to day? How should it be operating on behalf of the district?
Well, by its very structure, it's a policy board. It's a governance board. It is not a management board. It's a policy board that we set. We review policy. We set policy. We guide policy. But our biggest role is out in the community with kids and families. We are elected to represent those students and families, to be a voice, to be an advocate, to listen, to provide those sort of constituent services, and be an extension of the relationship between the district and children and families. So that's our biggest role.
As an individual member of the board, what do you view your primary role to be, and where would you like to spend your most time and attention?
Yeah, and that's a good point, because it as a policy board too, and there are seven board members, right? And you all need to work together. You need to have a good relationship with each other. You need to have a good relationship with the administration. You need to have a good relationship with the teachers, the faculty, the staff, but most importantly, again, with the community. So the best place that you can spend your time is out in the community, listening and learning from children and families, finding out, again, what they need and what their needs are, and bringing that back and being an advocate for them at the table.
This next one you might know all too well, but the board is frequently put in difficult positions where they have to make decisions, direct activities amid varying perspectives and sometimes disagreement. How do you see yourself working with fellow members of the board that you might be in disagreement with without creating an atmosphere where there's a lack of communication or progress is prevented?
Now, the number one rule that I had when I was on the board and when I was in leadership of the board, and it wasn't mine, I didn't create it, but but I learned it from other leaders there and in other places, is that we can always disagree, but we are never disagreeable. In the end, we are there all for the same reason. We are there for the kids and the families. That's what the organization is about. It's about education. It's about children. And so we're all there for the same purpose. And if we come from that mindset, we can all work together regardless of what decision is in front of us. So it's absolutely imperative that we be able to work together as a group and that we be able to build and strengthen relationships out in the community. We need our community partners. We cannot do this alone. And that's been very clear for a number of years. And I don't think anyone would really disagree that we cannot do this without our community partners. So we have to be able to work together first, and we have to be able to work with others. And we need to model that for our kids, because kids are watching. And when parents are fighting, kids know. So.
Yeah, it, all this happening at a time when the board is trying to decide when and if to go back to the community for additional financial support. You mentioned the levy earlier in our discussion. It sounds like they're looking at November of 2024 to go back for a levy. What's your perspective on the challenges that could present? And what do you think the board as a policy body can be doing to help garner community support going into next fall?
Yeah, levies are one of those difficult things that it's hard in the time that you have sometimes with the community to be able to say what you want to say and then be open to hear it. But that, and here I am go again saying I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but here's another one. Levies are difficult for schools because every 5 to 7 years, every district in Ohio of the 606 school districts in Ohio, every district is on a 5 to 7 year levy cycle typically, because of a House bill that was passed a number of years ago, a couple of decades ago, that capped millage for levies at the dollar amount that they were to bring in when they were passed. So regardless of inflation, regardless of increases in property values, no matter how things change financially, that levy is always capped at whatever it was meant to bring in when it was first passed. So the last levy that we passed was in 2012, which meant we started collecting dollars in 2013. So we are now operating on a levy that is still bringing in and capped at bringing in the dollars that it was bringing in over 11 or 12 years ago. When I was still on the board, we were trying to push that levy cycle to about 8 years. So when we got to that sixth and seventh and eighth year, we're saying, yes, we are being responsible with the money that the community's given us. We're being efficient and effective. And then you get to year 9 and year 10. And now that I'm not on the board, they're getting to year 11 and year 12. There comes a point when you are levy starved. And it has been too long since you've gone to the ballot. And we all had a pandemic in the middle. And we experienced some job losses. We experienced some economic sort of downward pressure. So there was a lot going on then. And I get why maybe the levy hasn't made it to the ballot. Excuse me. I get why the levy maybe hasn't made it to the ballot yet, but it is time to take a serious look at putting an operating levy on the ballot, because even if it passes in November of 24, they're not collecting that money until November of 25. And we have a solid 5-year forecast that shows us in the black for the next 5 years, but it also shows us starting that downward trend of deficit spending. So we have to take a serious look at that.
Awesome. Well, again, thank you for taking the time today. Before we wrap up, final thoughts, closing remarks?
No, I can't believe that's the question we're ending on. But no, I appreciate the chamber taking an interest in school board races. I mean, they're important to the community. They are really a foundation of everything else that goes on in the community. And it's important, too. It's a community-wide issue because, you know, however the schools, you know, whatever happens in the schools affects the community, and whatever happens in the community affects the school. So it's great to see the Greater Akron Chamber taking an interest in education and school board races. I appreciate the time today.
Absolutely. Thanks for coming.
Thank you.